found the most entertaining Iowa podcast in the world. It's the Washed Up Walk-Ons, and this is the Western Michigan Recap. The Hawks are 3-0, the only undefeated team still in the Big Ten West, a weak division. Nonetheless, here we are. We move into Penn State week undefeated. We start this one hot. A lot of Cade Mack talk. Why was he off? What's up with the interceptions? We'll answer all your questions right here. Sit back, relax. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Friendship Podcast, aka the Walk On Podcast, and I'm an uninspired podcaster who is giving the same fucking uninspired effort as our quarterback at the moment. So there's that.
You think his effort's uninspired, or you think it's overinspired?
I don't know what it is, but all I'm telling you is he's no better than Petrus. Straight up, call a spade a spade. This kid doesn't make any throws that Petrus couldn't make. This kid isn't any more clutch or consistent. And we've got a totally, totally average quarterback.
Wow.
Relax.
Yeah. I don't know if that's, you know, we've been called a hot take podcast before, and I disagreed with it until that point. But that intro right there, that may have swung my... I mean, I might have to agree with him. Do you actually feel this way?
No, I'm just trolling. But I would like to see our offense perform a little bit better.
Yeah, I think we all would. I think, man, there's a lot.
But I do think that that single game, like if you just take that one individual performance and isolate it, it looked very much like what we've seen from our quarterback play in the recent years. And you can't argue that with me.
I think statistically...
Accuracy-wise, man.
He's more accurate than Petrus.
But in that one isolated, in this one isolated
game. Sure. You know, 9 of 19 for 100 and, I think, 4 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. Picks were pretty impressive interceptions, actually. A couple of really nice plays by the defense. Nonetheless, Cade is... I mean, I guess we can start there. Because I really did want to go... I wanted to break down kind of position by position. A lot happened in this game, and... I guess this sort of feels like, you know, you're one quarter into the season. You only get 12 of these. They stand at the front of the room and they say, hey, boys, you get 12. Guaranteed. And you're 3 games through and you look up and 25% of the season's gone. It's like, damn, okay. We're no longer in the beginning of the season now. Like, we're in the middle of the season, right? And not only that, but Iowa's schedule clearly, obviously peaks here with Penn State. Whiteout, Happy Valley. We'll talk about that as we get into the preview this week. Go back and check out the Penn State 21 preview, by the way. One of our all-time episodes that Drake and I did. I think one of the most listened to in-season episodes we've ever done. Brian was pissed at Cade, and we'll get to that.
That was a very selfish throw.
Spiked his headset.
Reasonably so.
Yeah.
You're already in field goal range. Yeah,
that's what hurt.
In a position where the game isn't all said and done. Like, we weren't playing that great.
Right.
We hadn't taken a big lead. And that was a stat pattern. That was like, I'm going to try and be a hero here and be the guy who makes the throw. And I mean, deservingly so. You have to get your ass chewed when you make a decision like that when you're the quarterback.
Warranted, I think.
I'm curious if that wasn't supposed to be where the ball was supposed to go, too. Like,
maybe, but not Nico when they double covered it.
I mean, he had Nico wide open over the middle. I'm not sure what his progression was as far as, you know, if he was supposed to look at the vertical first. They come back to the crosser over the middle. Nico's wide open in that play. But he's staring down the vertical route the entire way, and he held on to it for way too long. That's an easy play for the safety to make.
Yeah. I think, the Cheeto fingers don't always get it wrong because sometimes there are some clear things that are just easy to pick out. And I think more than anything in this game, it seemed that Cade was, man, I don't know the way to describe it. It almost felt like
late and indecisive.
Late for sure. And going along with that, he held on to the ball way too long where he needed to just throw that sumbitch away. I know the guy's a baller at heart. Drake, you already said that. We talked about this. He's a competitor. He's got juice going through him. He wants to win. We saw him at the front of the swarm the last few weeks. Like, the guy wants to go out and just compete. And I love that he trusts himself. I think that he thinks he's a great quarterback. Remains to be seen. He obviously had one great year at Michigan. He started, we'll say, good to above average here at Iowa. It felt like maybe Cade was overlooking this opponent a little bit in a sense of, I can go out here and force throws and the defense will save me, or we're going to take care of this game by the end of the 60 minute ticks, ticking off the clock. I'm not worried about making a few mistakes. I'm going to, I don't know, be riskier. I don't know how to describe that. And maybe saying that he's overlooking the opponent is a bad way to put it, because that's, I don't even think I agree with that, but something about
you have no idea what his mindset is going into the game. So let's not try to crawl in there and kind of just throw out these ideas that may or may not be true.
No,
you can just say how he looked in the game. He looked uncomfortable. The timing was off and he was just not, couldn't get in a rhythm.
He seemed, he just seemed to be forcing things. And I think you're right, Kev. I think he did way more than the first two games. He was sort of telegraphing his passes. He wasn't necessarily going through his reads, at least looking off people as well as he has in the first two games. I don't know, man. And then, what he scared me the most was he held onto the ball. We've got him in the fourth quarter and he's taking fucking shots, dude. And I'm sitting here going, Cade, we need you, bud. Like, in the game's put away at this point. So, even KF in the post game presser said he's trying to do too much. He's trying to be too perfect, I think was the words that KF said. And who knows? Who knows? Maybe he felt the need to really go out and do something, really be active in a week before they head to Penn State and Happy Valley. Like, he needed to get a lot of work in. It left some sloppy play. It made for some sloppy play. So that's what I'll say with Cade. He did even scramble for a first down and didn't look good coming up out of that.
I'm not a college football doc or anything, but just eyeballing that it didn't look 100% healthy.
It didn't really look 50% healthy.
Yeah, man. I can't say when he scrambled, it looked clean. Like he felt great. And then after the play, coming back to the huddle or back, setting up for the next play, it really looked like, man, he is, it looked like on that play specifically, it didn't appear that it affected him the rest of the game. He didn't run a whole lot the rest of the game.
I disagree. It's clearly affecting him. Something about that leg is clearly affecting his accuracy because it just wasn't there. Yeah. Against Iowa State, it was okay. It was shaky. And I mean, yesterday it just simply wasn't there.
I will say this about that scramble play, though. That was a sack last year, 10 times out of 10.
10 out of 10.
Yeah.
You're right. And that's, that maybe it sounds crazy to say it, but, Cade at 50% still gives us a better chance than Spencer did at 100%. And it is what it is. Like, he's just got a little bit different skill set. And it's nice to know that it isn't nice, because I don't want him using his one run play a game to risk it all, put the entire season on the line. Not that I don't believe in the skid loader, skid diesel, backing him up, because, he got to come in towards the end of the game too. But
He was slinging it.
He did sling it now. Come on now.
He's kind of got a rocket there on the right arm.
Kinda. The man is 260 pounds and has a bazooka missile attached to his right shoulder.
His four seamer is pretty good. He's got a lot of heat going over the plate.
I'd love to see him throw a baseball. But like, you know, it just feels like we're still touchy with Cade. And again, we'll get into that probably in the preview episode some more. But Cade just looked a little less stable across the entire game. Any other more general thoughts from the three of you about this football game as a whole? Do we have any wide-ranging notes, Drake? Was there anything, Grant, that you want to point out? Kevin, any big picture thoughts?
Kevin, you want to go first?
Thank God for the Lightning. Thank God for the Lightning, because we came out sleepwalking in that first minutes of the game.
You think Thor helped us out?
No, but a reset did.
I mean, just look at what we did offensively. We have picks, and then defensively we give up a big old touchdown, and then I think we had another punt. Just not a whole lot of good things going on as a whole, like for the Lightning strike. So
yep.
Maybe it's a good little wake up call and a little chance to reset before play started back up, but that was an ugly start to the game.
I think Grant's freaking out to the Broncos.
G-Bone,
just win the game.
We just like 70-yard Hail Mary. Holy cow, we took it there too. It's like 70-yard Hail Mary. It was like batted up like a volleyball and into the end zone. Unreal. Oh my gosh.
Hey,
hold on. Keep talking. Hold on.
Let's ride. Again, another reason no Arrow this week on the show. Arrow, big hit with the people on YouTube, by the way, Drake. But
oh, yeah.
Grant is absolutely worth.
What pisses me off is that I had the Niners game on my phone, and that I on Stream East, and I didn't put it on here. I should have been watching this game as it happened.
Grant's just freaking out. He's a big Broncos fan.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt the pod.
No, that's we're here and we're living it.
To be clear, we're talking about the Denver Broncos, not the Western Michigan Broncos.
True.
That is
important clarifier. Thank you.
Yeah. Although both trash. They missed the 2-point conversion based on Grant's reaction. Go to the YouTube and watch if you haven't done that before. It's worth your time. It was interesting. I won't say, Kev, that we just were barn burners to end the first half either. I mean, we came back and it was 14-10 at half. We did seem to find something. Caleb Johnson out for the game. Sounds like he tried to go last week against Iowa State, and we got an ankle issue going on. Which isn't the only ankle issue that popped up in this game. We'll get to that here in a second. So no Caleb Johnson, Jazz Patterson. Hey, it's Jazz's game. Had a great game against Iowa State. This is his time to shine. He comes out and gets a little dinged up, I think. I'm not sure what happened to Jazz. So LeSean Williams.
And then our boy LeSean Williams comes in and ran like he got his shit taken from him. He ran like he was proving a serious point.
145 yards,
my boy,
on like 12 carries or something like that.
Dude, I'm always happy for a kid who comes back with like the perseverance.
Yeah, he was because he's gotten some good reps in last year, and it's really been
highly touted.
Yeah,
he got a lot of love.
We've got three guys, and now with the Young Bucks at the end of the game, kind of balling out. Kamari Moulton, Terrell Washington Jr. Max White, shout out the walk-on. Come on now. Let's talk about the walk-on for a second. Okay.
It's cool when you score a touchdown as a walk-on.
My guy is from, I believe he went to Kennedy. I think I saw on Twitter.
We'll hold that against him.
He's a Kennedy Cougar. And he's a walk-on, and I'll tell you what, he looks like the showman. And if there was a guy to personify the washed-up walk-ons, it's Max White. And to be even more incredible is his name is Max White. And, you know, Brent McMurphy on Twitter is claiming we're running up the score to help Brian's 25 points per game contract. And, it, you know, if with a fifth string walk on running back, we're running up the score. Hey, count me in. I'll be in on that every time, because that was cool. And I, you know, Coach Ferentz talked about him post game, said he works his ass off. He's gotten to play some special teams, and it's real cool to get in. And he talked about how hard it is for the guys that don't get to play. There's a lot of good players on the team. There's only so many spots, only so much playing time. And to get a guy like that in there, and he finds the end zone in Kinnick Stadium. That guy just lived every Iowa kid's dream. He scored in the black and gold. Kid fucking made it. He did it. To cover as well, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
We should probably go over the betting recap.
It was an over, too.
Presented to you by Betfred. Yeah, there was several covers there. Grant, can you pull up, at least, if not just for your own, help us lead us through this segment, our picks for the weekend.
The graphic going here.
Yeah, that'd be great. And I'll tell you what, I was rightfully punished over the weekend. I put in a last minute parlay.
Okay.
Betting both on I bet on the Iowa State Cyclones. And that was a poor decision.
Can't say I condone
that. Not what you deserve, pussy.
Yeah.
I made that pick because that was one of my picks on last Thursday's show.
It was.
I made that pick, and Grant tried to tell me. I made that pick under the assumption that there's no way a Power 5 team, be it a down year even at Iowa State, could go to a MAC school and look so horrible. Absolutely bottom of the barrel dumpster fire. And they did.
Welcome to Iowa State.
Unbelievable. And I don't think Matt Campbell thought they could look that bad, because that guy, he's letting fans get to him. Did you guys see that video?
Oh, yeah. It was almost SmackDown. Which was later that night, but it was the night before. Sorry.
Drake, you'll have to look it up. I'm not going to pull it up right now. So there, I don't know if it was at halftime or if it was at the end of the game, but they are running back to the locker room. And Campbell runs by the team, you know, the whole team's filing back to the locker room. And this is Cheeto Finger King. He is the fucking head of the Cheeto Fingers, the cheesiest. He yells at Campbell, "Get them together, Campbell. You're on the hot seat." That's all he said.
Yeah, he's just trying to contribute to the team. He wants to be a part of it. He's trying to get it together.
On the scale, the spectrum of things that fans say to coaches, that is like a 3 out of 10 disrespectful, like coming after a head coach, right? Like Campbell hears it, turns around, starts motherfucking the guy, and like has to get held back by his players and coaches. Or else what? I don't know. It kind of looked like he was going to come and try and punch this dude in the face. And I don't want to be the guy who's like judging other coaches. I know like Grant will clip this out and be like, "Oh yeah, he's the Hawkeye talking shit about the Iowa State coach." You can't do that as a coach. That is such a bad look. It doesn't matter what they say. They could damn near say they're going to kill your family. And as a coach, you have to just like understand that they're a dumbass fan who doesn't mean anything, and you've got a job to do. And Campbell was going to make this the show. I mean, it was kind of wild. Kevin, did you see that? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I saw that. I'm right there with you, Clue. I mean, that is like very entry level as far as the insults fans hurl at coaches. I mean,
yeah,
you should have heard what the Purdue student section was saying about coaches' daughters and wives.
Oh,
because they're right behind us on the bench there. But yeah, I mean, that is just a bad, bad look. You know, maybe he's trying to get fired. Maybe he's done. I don't know. all I know is that he should have gotten out when his stock was high.
Man, talk about a fumbled bag. This man could have I don't remember the jobs that were up at the time, but I know he was in. I mean, he was in talks top in the country. Drake, you're muted.
He was in everybody's mouth. No homo.
Dude, he was Johnny Sins, bro. And man, I just cannot imagine KF or one of the coaches doing something. You know what I'll say too is I don't even hate on him turning around and coming to say something to the fan. It was the aggression and like the hold me backness of it.
Nah,
it was like,
if you're gonna do it.
I mean,
turn around. And
I know in your world, Drake, you only want to see him headbutt the motherfucker
if he's gonna turn around.
I think if he turns around, like real kind of like softly, quietly comes up to him and says like, hey man, we're trying our best. Like that's the respectable thing to do as a head football coach of a Division I program. But you can't turn around like you're the, like you're the third grader. You know what, Drake, the impression you did of the Iowa State fan a couple weeks ago, that's what it looked like. Don't fucking talk to me like that, man. I'm trying my best. Fuck you.
I told you.
Man, it really looked like that.
They're all one and the same, bro. They're clowns.
It was a weird look. There's a lot of things, and that wasn't the only kind of man, college football, there's so many storylines around the country.
Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet To Go. At Gray's Gourmet To Go, we are madly and passionately in love with three things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food to go. Chicken lips are the most beloved food in Iowa City. And if you don't know what a chicken lip is, you're really missing out. Our second passion is pizza. We're hell-bent on making great pizza. Yeah, you can get cheap pizza anywhere. But if you're a real pizza aficionado, you gotta try our meatball pizza. It's made with a natural starter. And like sourdough bread, it's soft and crispy and light as air. And the third thing that we're wildly and passionately in love with is great food to go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy would like to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet To Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to graysgourmettogo.com.
Let's get to the betting recap here so we can get that out of the way. Grant, what was it wasn't good. I was either 0-3 or 1-2.
You were 1-2. Okay. Wisconsin snuck it out for you. They won by 21.
Yeah.
So they just barely covered. Didn't look like it for a little bit there.
Nope. Which is something that I think, again, a lot of people around the country, Hawk fans, if you're sitting there going, man, the Hawks are just really under-delivering for me, take yourself to just about every fan base in the country. And you can find the same scenario. Wisconsin struggled with Buffalo the first half last week. They struggled with Georgia Southern for a half this week. Alabama is out of the top.
Specifically, look around the Big Ten West. But Alabama struggled too.
Yeah. Alabama struggled with South Florida. Oklahoma State just got beat by South Alabama by about 100 points. What else happened? Tennessee?
This is workshopping the theory, but I kind of think everyone's just bad a little bit.
Everybody's bad.
Everyone might be bad.
And I don't know.
Besides Washington, maybe.
Oof, tough day for Michigan State. Tough week.
What do you guys think of what's his name? He's coaching the team again, right? It's
D'Antonio.
Yeah. What do you guys think of that?
Wow.
Well, I know this. Last time we saw him, it was...
Fuck that guy.
Tough fucking day.
But do you think any of that's like could it give a boost to the team a little bit? Like
no.
No? Okay.
No. I love the fact that we have them when we come back from Penn State. I don't know how Penn State goes, but I'm glad we don't follow up Penn State with Ohio State or Michigan. Like it's nice to get Michigan State at home. But yeah, a lot of weird shit going on around the country. Colorado, they're the big bad dog the first 2 weeks. They go in, there's a bunch of shit talking. There's late hits all over the place. They squeak out a win against Colorado State. Yeah. There's just a lot of stuff going on across the country. So I won my Wisconsin bet. I know my other two picks were Iowa State -2.5 or 3.
It was Iowa State -3 and then the Iowa under.
Which... is usually good, but one or two games a year, it's not. And this was one that wasn't. So 1-2 for the boy. Grant, how'd you fare?
I had a pretty good day. I mean, I started off the day with two wins at the same time, getting a nice little there's no internet in the stadium. So as I was rolling into the stadium, I knew I was doing well. So that was pretty good. I had Missouri against Kansas State. They won outright. Awesome.
We talked
field
about
goal
this
at the end. Saw people.
Dude, 61 yards.
Yeah, he has a nuclear missile as a leg. It was pretty cool. So that was a great game. And then I had Ohio plus +3, obviously huge one for Rufus the Bobcat. He rode like a Harley Davidson out on the field, leading the boys out of the tunnel. It was over instantly.
Well, fuck! So, if I would have known he was riding a Harley out there, I would have put the house on Ohio. That's where I messed up.
It was awesome. Yeah. So that was pretty cool. Also, I didn't. I just felt so good as soon as you turn on the broadcast for that game, right? And first thing they say is like, "Oh, we go developing storyline here. Half of the Iowa State players have food poisoning, and here's all the starters that aren't going to be playing." And I was like, "Oh, all right, we're good." I was like, "Okay."
Yeah, that certainly did not help the cause, man. Yeah. And that's what they get for scheduling at a MAC program. They were probably at some trash hotel who fed them old chicken breast or something.
On purpose.
Rufus the Bobcat poisoned Iowa State, and that's why I lost my bet this weekend. And what was your third pick, Grant?
And then my third pick was Purdue. Very disappointing from Purdue. They were wearing too good of jerseys to play that poorly. I mean, it was the amount of turnovers. I think they had 4 turnovers in the first half. Syracuse also, I don't know when all of a sudden they started to have like the best offense ever, but like they were untouchable.
They don't.
The whole night.
They don't.
Well, I mean, this is just, it's where this is the bet. This is, we just talked about overreacting, right? This is my, it's my job on this show to overreact to things.
Okay.
As much
so
as
Syracuse possible. Is Syracuse is best. Okay.
They might be pretty good, but yeah. And then, I ended up 2-1 overall. Good day. Had some other, good bets as well, but, we'll be doing, there might be a victory lap coming on Tuesday.
Okay, I'm excited for that. And as you kind of alluded to just something that Kevin said, look around the Big Ten West. God, Purdue is not good, right?
They're in trouble. It's not ideal going on over there. But I might be airing some grievances with them on Tuesday on DHS.
Okay,
so just
can we tease. can we get a report on how Kevin did on Saturday?
Kevin, I mean, he can probably speak for himself. I have 2-1 for you.
Yeah, Kevin is a 2-1 machine. We're 2-1 3 weeks in a row.
2-1 pays the bills, baby.
Yep.
It does. It does. It's profitable. So I had Penn State minus 14.5, and they covered, but they really didn't look that good against Illinois.
No.
I think they had 3 turnovers, like, pretty early in the game. Like Illinois turned the ball over 3 times early in the game.
Yep.
And they couldn't capitalize. Drew Aller looks like an average Big Ten quarterback.
Everybody's bad.
You know, might regret those words here in a week's time, but they did not look that sharp.
They
get the win because I don't think Illinois is much of anything this year.
I was just going to say Illinois didn't look good either. Like it was like that first week Nebraska Minnesota game. It's like they're both trying to fight to see who can win and look bad. It was weird.
Yeah, I think Penn State scored half their touchdowns on really short field.
Yes. Yes.
And then my second game, I had Rutgers minus -7 versus Virginia Tech. And
easy
Rutgers
money.
Might have a little bit of a decent squad this year, guys. I think Rutgers finds their way to a bowl game this year.
I agree.
And you guys wanted to boot that.
I mean, I still want to boot
them. Yeah, I'm still in that boat.
Take that back.
They had a really strong cover this week. And lastly, I had Western Kentucky plus +29 at Ohio State.
Mm.
They end up getting blown out. They were looking really good early, man. It's like halfway through the second quarter. It's 14-10.
Yeah.
And then they start doing some crazy shit, like going for it on their own 38-yard line, and that doesn't go well. And then they start turning the ball over, and then just kind of turns into a shit show. So, that was a big loss there. So 2-1 again.
Nice. That's 6-3 is respectable, man. If you finish the year, let's see, 24-12. That would be elite. Ohio State always seems to get one or two of those games a year where they put up 60, and you see the scoreboard, like the final drive on Big Ten Network, and you're just like, Jesus Christ, they unleashed the dogs on them. Hilltoppers couldn't get it done. 2-1 though, not bad. Did Drake give us picks?
Yep. He did. We have three. Drake, do you remember your UFC picks?
I was 1-1-1, but I need to file a grievance with the commissionary board.
Okay.
Valentino was robbed, blatantly and outright robbed. She was winning on two scorecards, and one scorecard was even going into the fifth round. And on like Mexican History Night, the Noche UFC, where it was almost all the fights had a Mexican fighter in them, and it was legitimately like Mexican Fight Night, presented by the UFC. Alexa Grasso, who is of Mexican descent, was given a 10-8 round in round five by one of the judges who had Valentino winning outright.
Home cooking.
To then even the scorecards and make it a majority draw. So it happened, but I want to say that it was an absolute hose job, and that's where we'll leave it.
Tough. All right, and there's your betting recap brought to you by Betfred, the title sponsor of the Washed Up Walk-Ons. Download the Betfred Iowa app today, and if you lose a bunch of money in your first bets, they will give you some back in bonuses. We already had some people posting their screenshots saying, it looks like Betfred feels sorry for me because I'm getting all these bonus opportunities and these promotional bets. That's what you get. Betfred Bonus King. Download the Betfred app, Iowa, today. Let's go back to the running backs quick. Boys, we got a stable. I mean, we got five guys.
And the offensive line blocked well, dude. After the Lightning, they came out and were actually opening holes, man. Playside holes were open everywhere.
And tell me, because I'm too stupid. I don't.
I had a lot of inside zone this week. I didn't see much outside zone, though. Obviously, I watched the game one time, TV copy.
Yeah.
Didn't rewind a single play, but I saw a lot of inside zone and gap, obviously. Okay. Dude, one back, our one back running game is really strong right now.
Yeah. Yeah,
yesterday. Dude,
the 13 personnel had a really good day. Like, we were running a lot of one back, three tight end sets, and having a lot of success in the ground game.
And now,
can I say something?
Yeah,
I was trolling earlier about Cade. I do like that Cade's a good quarterback. I'm not sure Eric Hall's a good football player.
Okay, what makes you say that?
He doesn't play gritty football, dude.
Is this in reference to his blocking ability versus his what he does receiving? Or
this is me saying that I don't think he's special in the receiving game, and watching him block makes me want to throw up.
Okay. Certainly not our best blocking tight end. And this kind of – well, this is a unfortunate segue to something that happened in this game with Luke Lachey's injury. Fuck, man. I mean, come on. Bad. You feel for the kid.
Badly.
Does not feel good. And not only that, you never want to see a guy go down, but a guy with that potential, a guy that's that important to the offense, God damn it. Eric Gall is going to have to be better. Along with Steven Stylianos, who I think is a pretty decent blocking tight end from what I could tell yesterday. And Addison Ostrenga, or however you say his last name, those two guys are going to have to step up, because Luke's not playing this week, and he's probably not playing any weeks. I don't want to speculate on an injury that we obviously have no details on, but Drake, you had a similar injury, and Kevin, you replace ankles on a daily basis, so you guys had some interesting conversation in our text message back and forth. Either way, not looking good. So we're going to have
I wouldn't expect to see him back out there this year.
No.
I mean, it looks – you could definitely see it was dislocated on the TV copy. You couldn't tell if there was a clean break or not. If it's broken, he's obviously done for the rest of the year. Even if it's just dislocated, amount of soft tissue damage in there. I don't see him playing again this year. You know, that's several months of rehab right there.
Dude, I just hope it heals better than mine did.
I mean, that's a tough joints are just tough spots to just have some carnage happen. And it's not good. It's not good. You don't want to see that. You know, he's arguably our safety blanket in the passing game.
He's our best offensive player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's good in the run game. He's amazing in the pass game. He's so reliable. He was our best offensive player. Our running backs are great. He was our best offensive player.
My only other note here on the tight ends was, again, we're going to have to Stylianos and Astringa and whoever else is in that tight end room with Abdul Hodge are just going to have to step it the fuck up. I mean, it's next man in mentality. Coach talks about it all the time. We got an injured soldier, but he can't help us now. And the fucking Penn State Nittany Lions don't give a shit. Right. So you're going to have to figure it out. And then we'll, okay, what else? We got O-line running downhill.
They started off really tough. Like Kevin was talking about, everybody came out sleepwalking. It was ugly for the first couple of minutes. But for most of the game, you know, a much higher majority than had been prior, they did a really good job of moving the line of scrimmage, or at least winning on the play side and opening up the hole. I mean, a couple of those runs, the running back didn't even have to come off his track. He just took the handoff, stayed where his eyes were at, and ran as fast as he could.
I was going to say, we saw the biggest holes in the running game that we've seen in a long time, it feels like.
Yeah, for sure. That was a good performance.
You tell me, Drake, does a performance like that, where you have a 150-yard rusher, some really great reps by the other third, fourth string as well. Does something like that potentially spark a confidence in that offensive line where they're like, holy shit, we can do this? Or is it just,
for me personally, I think it's whack if you need that to be like, oh shit, maybe we can actually do it. But you should always be thinking you're obviously going to do it.
So is it more along the path of, we're just at game three and we're starting to figure out a couple things?
Yeah, I would hope it's less mistakes. I don't know what they're thinking, but they did a good job of making improvements, especially from weeks one and two. So I don't know. We'll see. I hope they didn't need that. All of a sudden they feel like they just dumbed into one, because that would be a very bad mentality to have. But
well, I mean, if it is the mentality, they got it. So, you know, even if it's false confidence, I mean, maybe they're confident. Could also be that Western Michigan's defensive front was just not what we're going to see all year too. They might be a step down. Yet to be determined.
Step down.
Yeah, for sure. And then finally on the offensive side of the ball, the receivers, this goes, I kind of had a thought that goes back to something that Drake was concerned about earlier this year, receivers getting open. I felt like receivers were open.
Dude, they were kind of open.
Yeah.
There were some dudes kind of running open.
Which brings me to two things. Again, Cade not hitting
the inaccuracy is tough.
And I think we'll clean that up. And two, I don't know shit about shit, just a former long snapper on a podcast. But if you think that Brian Ferentz is the problem at this point through three games, I have nothing for you. Because it feels that, like, at times the man has been in his bag with some play calling. That's just me. Doesn't seem like the play calling has seemed fine. Maybe it's not, you know, I don't even know who the best offense in the country is right now. Maybe it's not them, but it feels better. And if we get some execution like we saw in the running game, like we've seen a little bit through these first three games in bits and pieces, sure does feel like we can be competent, satisfactory on offense. People still out there. People are so mad from the last 2 years that people are still calling for Brian. If Brian Ferentz started scoring 400 points a game, they'd still be pissed and want him fired because of what he's already established. Or what?
I saw a couple dudes wearing Firebrand t-shirts at the stadium over the weekend.
Oh, dude, it's unbelievable. And what makes me sick even more is there's a large contingent of Hawkeye fans out there with this 25 points per game thing who want us to miss that mark. They want us to score less than 25. They want every reason in the world to complain and bitch and moan and live in the misery and be able to talk more shit about Brian Ferentz and nepotism. Like, there's a large contingent out there. Maybe it's not that large, you know, the vocal minority on Twitter and Facebook and all that says so, but more people than I wish are in that group of people who are just like, they love just living in that shit. That shit. They just, I don't understand it.
It's a little weird.
It's extremely weird. Like, you know, and Brian can no longer do anything good, even though he is. So I don't know. Sure. You guys can correct me on that one if Brian's calling shitty plays, but
I don't know, dude. That headset spike, that was pretty good. That was a decently graded headset spike.
I would say A+ on that one.
And honestly, the way that he combed his hair back into place after that, honestly, pretty top tier as well. So I don't care about his play calling. You might think he's shit at that, but you honestly can't tell me that he should have thrown a temper tantrum, because the guy can still throw a temper tantrum with the best of them and look good doing it.
I think a lot of people saw that on camera yesterday, and it was like maybe the first time it had been caught where Brian was really going off. And I was like, is that the first time he's done? Like, I feel like I've seen him do that a lot. But maybe it was just in practice when I saw
He did that to me in the locker room at Michigan State our senior year.
He did it a lot to a lot of people.
You're the reason he broke his hand?
I am the sole. Well, Brady Ross probably is going to take a little bit of ownership for this too, because neither of us played the best first half that we could have played. And that's saying it lightly. And yes, Brady Ross and I combined, I'll say I was 60. Brady Ross was 40% of the reason Brian Ferentz broke his hand. Yes.
Okay.
I get it. I mean, I'd hate me too.
Yeah.
Hate me.
Yeah, we know. Before we get to the rest of this recap, let's take a minute to acknowledge one of our sponsors this season, AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merchandise. Mm-hmm. I think Drake.
Can we get a Pornhub sponsorship?
Gosh, I don't know if AdCraft is going to enjoy that little plug in there. But yeah, I don't know. Probably not. But we have an AdCraft sponsorship.
Shout out AdCraft.
Which Love is AdCraft. Cool. Which could be the opposite of sort of like a Pornhub sponsorship where you're putting on clothes.
You're putting clothes on. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
That's why I said it.
Sure. Just a little bit of little opposites attract there. If you need clothes to put on, you're cold, you're chilly. We're entering the winter months. We're going to be doing a drop soon here for Christmas and holidays. Bundle up with some of that soft, crispy AdCraft merchandise. And if you have maybe ideas of your own, I talked about it before. You've got some work uniforms you want to pump out. You got a little, they love that. What's a 16-inch softball team? People love that shit. You need some team unis, crank out some uniforms with them, or just, you got your own designs. You want to create some custom t-shirts, hit them up at craftwebstores.com. Colin and the team over there, they're great people.
They'll print your clothes to take off.
And you can take them off if you want to take off the clothes. Kev, what happened on a couple of these defensive miscommunications, missed assignments? Can you give me a quick rundown? Because a few of them were pretty bad.
Yeah. A couple of not-so-good looks from the Hawkeye defense this past Saturday. I guess we'll start with the first touchdown, right?
Yeah.
So we're playing cover two across the board. And this one, I'm going to kind of split the blame a little bit between Xavier and Jamari. So cover two, Jamari's playing cornerback. Base rule is that you're responsible for a flat, right?
Yeah.
But if number two, so the number two receiver counting from the outside end, goes vertical, you have to carry number one vertical, number one being the receiver furthest to the outside.
Sure.
And that's because you can't just have two guys running vertical down the end, down the field. That leaves a two-on-one, so safety. That's an aggressive defense. Disaster. Bad news Bears. So where the issue came is like number two kind of ran a, you know, is it a vertical route? Is it not a vertical route? It looks like Jamari didn't classify, like, identify as a vertical route. So he kind of just jammed his receiver outside, and he's waiting for something to come back to the flat.
Yep.
It looks like Xavier thought, maybe that's a vertical route, and I have to break on that. And by the time he sees that it's going to, you know, the guy running the vertical on the outside there, he breaks and takes a pretty poor angle, and that just leads to a touchdown.
Yeah. The guy that – and that guy that Jamari passed off, he ran – I guess you call it a double move, but it wasn't a great double. Like, it didn't get Jamari. Like,
No, it's not a double move because he's not. He ran what looked like an out and up, but he's not looking for the ball.
Right, right.
He ran that because as a receiver and you're going against cover two, the cornerback's trying to jam you to the outside. His goal is to flatten you,
yeah.
So you're not just running straight upfield. Right?
Okay.
So he's basically just avoiding the cornerback on that route. It's not like Jamari got beat or anything like that.
No,
it's just that it was one of those kind of in-between routes. What do I do here? Do I carry my guy vertical or do I not? When in doubt, you should probably carry your guy. Xavier didn't take a great angle on it.
Right. So ideally, in a perfect world there, Jamari kind of sits underneath that route. We have Xavier over the top. We have it bracketed and we're all good. But Xavier was sort of in the indecision between the two of them trying to classify those routes in their heads on the fly. He left too much room, too much time for him to get over to the sideline. And that's what allowed the guy to catch it. And then it was just too late to get there.
Yeah. You know, looking back on it, if you want to get technical about it and when you're reviewing it in the meetings post game, it was like about a 12 to 13 yard curl route from the number two receiver. That's in our book usually classified as a vertical route, and Jamari should have just carried number one down the field. But you know, that'll be something that they get sorted out and say, hey, what do we want to do about this kind of route going forward versus cover two?
Yeah, because other teams are going to see that and say, fuck, we're running that same route tree because these guys were confused. And
yeah, the thing is we're not usually playing cover two in that situation. We're usually playing quarters coverage, and that's a very easy pattern match. We're playing cover two because it looked like on the other side of the play, they're trying to run crossing routes, which cover two is very strong against. You just pass everything off. It's pretty easy to cover.
Right.
You know, they caught us in that kind of gray area in the coverage that just happened to be good for that play. So a little bit of good play call on their part, poor execution on our part. It'll be something that will get fixed. I'm not super worried about it moving forward.
X's and O's brought to you by Kevin this week. Drake, last week, people were absolutely, and I'm sorry, not safe for work, cover your kids' ears, but people were coming all over the place over Drake's X's and O's. Yeah, and they were going to come a lot this week. We knew that, but.
One of my notes that I wrote about this game was how good Brian was at calling screens to beat their blitzes. He used a lot of different unique screens to beat them because they were, like Cade said, they were going to come.
And they came.
And they came a lot. And Brian used a pretty damn good diverse screen game to beat those blitzes. So I really like that.
I like that note.
Yeah, caught one that ended up being a touchdown on the first play of the drive. That was a great
the one. Yeah, the one to LaShawn, right?
Yep.
Out in on the high side flat of the TV. That was beautiful.
And talking about coming, you know that KF was just loving that sequence of play. So we pin him down at the 1 or 2 yard line from Torrey. Almost get him a safety. Defense holds him to 3 and out. Punt return team gets the ball back to the 25 yard line, score the next play. that is just perfect complimentary football. You know, Cav was just absolutely loving it.
And yeah. You know, another guy that we have to give a huge shout out to is our boy that blocked the punt. I don't Ooh. Remember his name, but he, you know, when you watch a lot of guys go to block punts, they don't do as they're instructed. You're instructed to shoot your hands low and take it directly off his foot. And that's exactly what our guy did. And that's why he blocked it, because his hand wasn't up in the air where the punter could punt it underneath it. So tremendous job of executing the way you're coached.
That was Terrio Thompson.
Yeah, and Terrio Thompson there. I executed like a textbook, and I'm glad you bring that up, Drake, because that is our premier automotive collision of the game, his hands with that ball sending it back out of the end zone. Real pissed. You hate when it doesn't give you a shot to – spin down in the end zone.
I felt bad for him because he did it so perfectly. He was the only one around there. Yeah. He deserved to be able to pick that up for it and get that for his job well done. But yeah, I mean, he still got to celebrate it.
I'd say he didn't seem too broken up about it.
No, he was real excited about it. And that was at a really critical part of the game. It's 14-10 there.
Special teams, man. Our special teams are the reason we win a lot of football games. This one wasn't in particular the reason we won, but it's just another instance of our special teams making a difference.
It sparked us. We're halfway through the third quarter at that point, and we needed it. So shout out. Not only does he get the block punt for the safety, but he gets the walk-ons collision of the game. Hit a deer, call premier, or hit a punt, call premier. Call them either way. Premier Automotive.
Just call them. Yeah. Ask Premier how they're doing. Just give them a call. Yeah. Check in with them.
I agree with what you said there, Kluve. I think that sequence kind of changed the whole trajectory of the game to the point where Western Michigan didn't really have an opportunity to win anymore. Because, right, you said 14-10, block punt, safety, 16-10. We bring out the returning kick out to midfield, and we'd have a quick 50-yard drive, touchdown, 2-point conversion. All of a sudden, we go from being up 4 points to up 2 touchdowns. I think is the next play. I think it's a 3-and-out, and we score another touchdown.
It certainly sparked a chain of events, and I think, Kev, it coincided perfectly with the fact that, and again, it's hard for me to speculate on this, but it just kind of seems this way when we play some of these on paper lesser opponents. Middle end of that third quarter is when Iowa starts to wear on people generally, and the other team starts to get a little tired. They start to have missed assignments. They start to maybe not have as much juice in the tank, and all of those things together sort of came together at the same point. So I would say that there's something to that. I also think with Iowa so elite on special teams and the way that Coach Woods and Coach Wallace put an emphasis on it in practice, the juice that runs through those periods during a week of preparation. Not only do we care about special teams, but when a special teams play is made like that, there's nobody that runs on that electricity like the rest of the team. Like the rest of the team says, oh, fuck, we just had a special teams play that most teams don't get. We just got one, and let's go run with it. And I feel like our team did that. I love, by the way.
Yeah, it helps if they don't block the guy in the A gap, but you know.
Well, and I wasn't going to say it, but absolutely atrocious punt block. Punt team by Western Michigan. There, I don't even know if they knew what they were doing at all. It was that bad.
Big fella. I don't think they really wanted to block him.
They wanted no piece of Ontario Thompson.
It's a business decision.
Quick shout out to Wet Jet on the kick. Kick returns. It's Caden Wheaton is his name. It's WETJEN, I believe. Caden Wheaton, but people are calling him Wet Jet because he was running the jet sweep.
Because he can fly.
Dude has absolutely.
He can pick him up and put him down.
He's got burners, bro. He can move.
I like him. He's a good return man.
Let's see. I have.
Like too, man. I think the KOR team had a great day, actually.
I would agree.
They did have a great game versus Ohio State, but they had a couple really good returns.
I put a note down on Wet Jet, too.
I thought you were doing an ad when you brought that up.
No. But if there's some company that has something, I believe he's a transfer from Iowa Western. He's a junior.
Shout out to him.
Originally from Williams
Nick Easley. Originally, he definitely outrun Nick Easley.
Oh yeah, he's originally from Williamsburg, Iowa, I believe. I think all those are correct. Him and our boy Max White are really putting on for the brand, and I'll just leave it there. Special teams still had a couple. There's a low snap in there. I don't know.
Do you think it's looking better though? Because I thought it was better.
We're getting better.
Okay, what I'm gonna say is that our gunners are phenomenal.
Great. Always have.
They, I mean, obviously Coop is Coop, and the way, the smoothness with which he just runs down at full speed, turns around, headed backwards, catches it like he's one of those little bowling ball rollers for the young kids, and just rolls it right there to the 2 yard line. I mean, that is so smooth and actually hard to do. It's incredible.
He is an absolute.
But then who's number two? He did the same thing. He made it look a little less smooth than Coop, but he did the same thing. Threw it right back to the 1 yard line or 2 yard line.
How about Coop on punt return, dude? The guy just wants to get dicey. He wants to mix it up.
Well, with a guy like that on your team, you have to do him the service as a player to find a way to get his ball in the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
Like, even if you don't want him to play offensive snaps and to wear himself out, and you know, Travis Hunter is kind of proven that Coop could probably do it because Coop's different, just like Travis Hunter is.
Yeah.
But you got to find a way to get the ball in his hands somehow.
He doesn't give a fuck how close you are or how many people are coming. He's gonna grab it and try and make a play, and I love it.
Did you see the step up 360 out that he did?
He spun out, dude.
He made him look so stupid. You could tell that nobody out there trusted that they could actually tackle him, because as soon as he ran up, they freaked out, and then he spun around, and it was like their brain exploded.
There's not many people in real life who have the actual PlayStation circle button. Coop's got it.
Yeah.
And so did Braxton Miller. Coop's unbelievable. And I agree, Grant, our special teams has gotten better with each week. I believe it will get to where it needs to be. Torrey obviously had a couple great punts.
Isn't that where we wanted to be, though?
Three of them down inside the two.
Yeah. What'd you say, Grant?
Well, I said, isn't that like what you want it to be, though? Like, if you're going to have like shaky special team stuff, like in the first like little bit of the season, like you're gradually getting better. Isn't that what you would want?
Obviously, yeah.
Aspect of the game, you want to continue to get better every week.
Right. Right. Okay. Any other things that I put down? I think the only other thing I'll say, I don't know, Kev, you probably have more comments on maybe D-line and linebacker play than I can afford. I can give. The D-line hasn't been as great as maybe we thought they were going to be. They're not bad. They are not bad, but they haven't been. I think they have 3 sacks in 3 games total. It's not blowing away anybody against, you know, the 3 offenses that we've played. So maybe underperforming there, but I think we're solid. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, actually solid in the pass game. I thought, you know, had a couple sacks, a couple pressures. The only really, I mean, against most runs, we did pretty good. They had a couple gash ups, but thinking that's more on the linebacker, specifically at the will linebacker position. There's a couple of zone read options that were either miscommunicated between the end and the linebacker as to how they were playing that, or just mis-executed. But those there were a couple of those that gashed us, one for like 30 yards, another for like 20. It looks like they addressed it at halftime as to how they wanted to play that going forward. But I want to say that was mostly on the linebackers. So usually in a zone option, you have 2 ways of playing it. You can either have the end crash down on the back and the backer loop out for the quarterback, or you can have it play the other way where the backer just plays his gap and the attention essentially is taking the running back, and that the end, who's not getting blocked, basically stays flat-footed, so that the quarterback can't really pull it. It looked like we were crashing the end, but also the linebacker is sticking his nose in the middle, so there's no one for the quarterback on the outside.
Can't do that.
No, can't do that. Again, I think that's more just missed assignment than anything, any sort of crack in the facade. And again, something that'll get addressed and probably shouldn't show up the rest of the year. I mean, it's pretty basic.
I don't know how y'all feel, but I think that this is just kind of like a fact of life. It's just never a good idea to send two dudes in the same hole.
It's good advice. It's great advice. And it's just, sometimes it gets crowded
it's usually one dude per hole is usually the right.
Yeah.
The right distribution.
Right. And it could have been a thing where, because they were coming so much, you just didn't know. It just got messy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll clean that up. As we finish up the pod here, Iowa now the only undefeated team still left in the Big Ten West, as Minnesota went to North Carolina and couldn't really do a whole lot. They ended up losing 31-13 or 31-14, something like that.
31-13.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just been, the West has looked really very average, and that kind of sort of includes Iowa to a large extent here to open the season. So Big Ten play is about to start up, and again, we'll
hey, man, dive. We're 3-0, which is, KF would say in a team meeting, that's as good as we can be right
Best
now.
Best we can be.
So didn't look great at times, but you know, you took care of the non-conference play, and you know, are they getting better? I think so.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We'll see what we're really about here in the next 2-3 weeks when the league play gets started.
Yep.
We're definitely getting better because we're running the ball better.
Yep.
And that is like the single most important thing we could possibly do in this week coming up, because field position and time of possession are going to be huge factors.
Massive.
In beating a good football team at home in a rowdy environment.
Yep. Two things that I want to end with here. One specifically about the game. This is the second week in a row where we've really cleaned up penalties. We had none against Iowa State and only one yesterday that was late in the game for 5 yards. We love that. That's going to be huge. Penalties, turnovers, special teams, three huge parts of the game that we can win in the margins with. And
turnovers, the biggest one, dude.
Turnovers is a huge one. And obviously, we can't have those picks. And nobody knows that more than Cade. And then the second one is completely unrelated. But we got this comment, I think, 2 weeks ago on our YouTube channel. And I just, if I don't eventually use it, then it's just going to fall into content that's wasted. Someone commented, I'm a straight male, but Kulik looks hot as fuck right now. So check out the YouTube.
I think that's one you could have just left in the comments there, buddy.
Check out the YouTube.
I think Kluver wanted to give me a comment or a compliment without having to do it himself.
Yeah, you're right. You caught me. Yeah. It was actually me. I left the comment. Grant and I determined that you look like the Geico caveman, but somebody evidently loves that look. That's really more just of a really, really weak way to pump our YouTube channel, which Grant has been a huge part of, I think, the growth in our YouTube and our socials. We have
the G-Bone effect.
It's the G-Bone effect. Shirt coming soon, promise. 2,600 subscribers we just passed on YouTube. Let's get to 3,000, huh? Let's get us up to that 3K mark.
Why stop at 3?
Get us to 100, right? Take us to the moon. Get us to Mr. Beast level.
Whoa.
That'd be cool.
That's all we got. Obviously, it's a big week. 24-hour rule. Enjoy the victory. We're on to Penn State. We'll talk to you on Thursday. See you then. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.